Good morning. Will you please bow your heads? God spoke, you and your word became flesh, breathing a new song of joy and praise into the world. Grant that we may bear the good news of your salvation, proclaiming your promise and peace to the ends of the earth. Amen. So our gospel reading this morning, there it is. This Christmas morning comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who are born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So Merry Christmas. Thank you for spending some of your day with us. So when me and my sister, who's kind enough to be sitting right there, were younger, our Christmases were in Southern California. There was nothing like what we have now there. It was sunny, and it was normally warm. So we would go down, and normally it would be Christmas gifts, eating, and then we would just hang out. Later in our life, our grandparents were kind enough to put a pool in. So then it was Christmas gifts, eating, and swimming. That's how we held our Christmas. To the best of our knowledge, and I did check with my sister, we didn't go to Christmas Eve service very much, if at all, and maybe once in a while to Easter service. But our grandparents were huge gift givers. So our grandmother was kind of an amount person. Like, we would have tons of gifts. Lots of them. Lots of them were trinkets. Lots of them were things that they would give to us for on their trips. And we would have a pile. But then we had our grandfather. And he was a big gift giver. Not in amount, more in expense. So the first gift I remember exclusively that was probably pretty expensive is I got a Texas Instruments digital watch. It did nothing like any watch you have on your wrist right now. It did one thing. You pushed the button, and it showed you the time, and that was it. But I'm sure it was, at the time, it was very expensive. And much, I'm sure, to my father's chagrin, because I had not learned how to use a normal watch yet. So there were times when my grandfather would really go expensive, and some of the older individuals here will remember this. One time, we didn't have microwave ovens. One Christmas, three microwave ovens showed up in his living room, one for each member of the family. Another year, VCRs, right when they first came out. There were three of them in the family. He loved to give big, expensive gifts. But no gift my grandfather could give would even rival the gift that we got last night. So the Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John, who traveled with Jesus Christ, and who was Jesus Christ, and who Jesus Christ called his beloved disciple, when Jesus Christ was with us for his earthly ministry. Church tradition says that John dictated it in his old age, around 110 AD. He is also considered the author of the books of John and the last book in the Bible, Revelations. The way this prologue is written, it is so that his gospel can connect Jesus Christ with the Greek culture. John wanted to make sure that he could reach both Jewish people and those of us that are Gentiles. There's a few words in the beginning that I'd like to focus on to set up what's in the end of the reading. In verse 1, John gets straight to the point. In the beginning was the Word. He is stating that Jesus Christ existed before God did any creating. Then he says, the Word was with God, telling us that Jesus Christ was with God as he created the cosmos, connecting Jesus to the first book in the Old Testament, Genesis. Then he states, the Word was God. He is making a direct and powerful statement. Jesus Christ is God. Period. No room for argument. Marion May Thompson says it that by calling Jesus as God's Word means he is God's self-expression, God's thought or mind, God's interior word spoken aloud. This threefold claim reveals the origin of Jesus, his relationship with God, and his identity as God. And God came to live with us. Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. Christmas celebrates the Word becoming flesh. Pastor Peterson in the Message Bible records our last verse, verse 14, this way. The Word became flesh and blood, and it moved into our neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. He came to live with us. He was not some abstract idea that had been passed down from generation to generation, written about, seen as mean and vindictive in our Old Testament in the past, but now he's good. He did not come down on a fiery chariot like Elijah was taken up to heaven in. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians explained what Jesus Christ did for us. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. He explained it this way. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. He came to live with us, and not just live with us, but experience the same things that we experience now. He was born and raised by Joseph and Mary. He lived a sinless Jewish life by observing all the Jewish customs and laws at the time, and he learned a skill from his adopted father, Joseph. Everything that we experience in a lifetime, he experienced, and he went beyond and died on the cross for our salvation to show us that we belong to him. But Jesus Christ had the power of God and yet chose to come into our world just like we do. He was conceived in the womb of Mary. He was born as all of us are and put in the trusted hands of Mary and Joseph. Came to us as the most vulnerable of us, a baby. And even in the beginning before he came, he was rejected because they didn't have any room in the inn for them. A human baby, which is solely dependent on its mother and father to live. A baby cannot get its own food. It can't hold up its own neck, roll over, or take care of itself in any way. God, through Jesus Christ, came to us as the most vulnerable to set an example for us to follow. It shows us that God chose to enter our humanity. In the military, we would call that leadership by example. And he set one mighty example. By looking at this aspect of Jesus' arrival and first few years of life, it reminds us that we should as well look to God with that same childlike dependence that Jesus Christ put in Mary and Joseph. It means that God loves us and is committed to us. Richard Rohr writes, "The true self, where you and God are one, does not choose to love as much as it is love itself already. The true self does not teach, use compassion as much as it is compassion. Loving from this core of your being is experienced as a river within you that flows of its own accord. From this more spacious and grounded place, one naturally connects, empathizes, forgives, and loves everything. We are made in love, for love, and unto love. This deeper inner yes that is God in me is already loving God through me. But there are times that we do not show our love and we look to ourselves rather than God." There is a lot of good news that you can take from the birth of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. Judith Jones, a vicar at St. Stephen and St. Luke by the Sea Episcopal Church in Eugene, Oregon, gives us two great areas to focus on and remember. First, is that those who by entrusting themselves to Jesus are born of God, become so fully permeated by the divine being that their lives begin to shine with God's own radiance. If we trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and try to show the same type of love that he did, hopefully people around us and in our community will see and gravitate to us. Second point to remember is that the Word became flesh to help us see every human life as a temple of the Holy One. Think who Jesus identified with: the broken in his society, the poor, the weak, outcasts, those that needed help, not the religious leaders of his time. If we remember these two points, live them out for the rest of this year and into 2023 and beyond, we will be fulfilling Jesus Christ's great commission given to his disciples found at the end of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. "God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age." I hope we can remember this Christmas feeling in our hearts all year long. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.